That's Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25, beginning at verse 15 of Romans chapter 7. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that we see a great principle here. I pray this morning that as our pastor comes, you would open up this treasure to us to help us to have victory over sin in our lives. Help us to hear what you have for us this morning and work in our hearts and our lives through the preaching of the Word of God. And Father, before I sit down, I do want to pray that if there's someone in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they would get this settled. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I'm going to ask that you sit very still and listen for a few moments this morning. And of course, always, please turn your cell phone off, your electronic device, whatever the case may be. If you have to have it on for some emergency case situation, they're wanting you to come to the White House and bring some common sense, something like that, then, of course, turn it to vibrate. But help us there, please. We'd appreciate that very much. Now, this is one of the most difficult passages in the Bible to read and to concentrate on. You want to really challenge yourself? Memorize those verses right there. But here's the issue. Very simple. Look down at verse number 23. The Apostle Paul here is talking about this. What I'm not supposed to do, I do that. What I should do, then I don't do that. And he's kind of frustrated with some things. And in verse 23, he says, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall release me from the body of this death? He said, I got a war going on inside of me. There was a conflict. Apostle Paul is a saved man, and every saved person, by the way, has two natures inside of them. There's the nature with which you are born. The Bible calls it the flesh. It calls it the carnal nature. It calls it the old man, that kind of stuff. And that nature with which we are born, in the next chapter, Romans chapter 8, tells you that nature hates God. Hates the Bible, doesn't want to do what the Bible says. Every Christian has that nature inside of them. You are born with that. Every human being is born with that nature. It is a sinful, fallen nature. It wants to do wrong, doesn't want to do right. At salvation, you have a new nature put inside of you. And here's the dichotomy. It is exactly the opposite of your fallen nature. It loves God. It loves the Bible. It wants to do the right thing. And now, with these two natures inside of you, That's what the war is. Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary to one another so that you cannot do the things that you would. It doesn't mean you can't do anything. It means you're never going to be able to do exactly everything that you want because of this war inside of you. And if you live by that old nature, the Bible says, it'll take over. And if you live by the new one, it will also take over. It's an old illustration, but it's a good one. And an old Indian chief got saved at an old camp meeting down in Texas once. And someone asked him, "Chief, what's it like to be saved?" He said, "Well, I have black dog and I have white dog inside of me, and they fight all the time." And they asked him, "Well, so Chief, who wins?" He said, "The one I feed the most." So at salvation, welcome to the war. The greatest Christian who ever lived had this battle going on inside of him. It frustrated him so much because, listen, he wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to obey the Bible. He wanted to do right. But then he said there in the first part of these verses, "But that which I'm not supposed to do, I do that. And the things I should do, too often I don't." This battle that went on inside of the Apostle Paul is a battle every one of us faces, as we'll point out in just a moment. Sometimes God wins. Sometimes we lose. But it goes on, doesn't it? I want to talk to you about winning this war this morning, because that's the key. America as a nation has learned that when you go into a conflict, a war, if you do not go in there with the intention to win, you'll shed blood for nothing. My era of Americans, and I'm a Vietnam era veteran, my era of veterans understands the concept that we spilled 53,000 plus American lives in the jungles of Vietnam and was not necessary. Not because we didn't need to go, we just didn't try to win the war. If we'd done it right, we'd have gone over there, got it done, and got out of there, and a lot of people's lives would have been saved, sacrificed. But I'm not anti-war protesting or anything like that. Please understand something. But I think they learned something. You could get in a war, you better get in this thing. Avoid it at all possible opportunities, but if you're going to fight a war, then win it. Don't fool around and don't waste lives. Get in and get it done and be done with it. The idea of the war that goes on inside of you, my friend, we need to win this war. And it's a daily battle in our lives. Now, let me say about winning the war. First of all, it's a defining battle. And by that I mean this. If you have this war he spoke of here, that between the flesh and the spirit, between the old nature and the new nature, between the old man and the new man, if you have this battle going on inside of you, that's actually a good thing. That means you have a new nature. You know how you got that? You got saved. That's how you got it. That battle's a good battle. That's one you want. Now, you want to have that battle. So I don't want to have a conflict in my life. Believe me, you can't avoid life without conflicts. It's just not possible. But the point is, see, this is a defining battle. If I have a conflict between my old nature and new nature, then I have a new nature because that means I got saved. It's a good indication I'm a saved person, that I'm a child of God. So that's a good battle. That's one you want to have. If you don't have that, if you say, I have no desire for the things of God. None. I don't care about it. It doesn't bother me. I could give a flip one way or the other. It doesn't make any difference to me. Well, I got my own conduct. I got my own thing. Then, my friend, to you this morning, I would say you need to get born again. So why in the world would I want to start a war inside of me? Because without it, you're in a losing situation. That means you live by your old nature, and that's a selfish nature. Very selfish. And it's a nature by which nothing but trouble comes. So this war that goes on inside of us, it's a defining battle. Let me just say it simply. No battle, not good. It is a battle also. This war is a battle every Christian faces. I don't know if it encourages you or not, but if this great Christian, the Apostle Paul, had this conflict where, you know, he's not supposed to do something sometimes and he does it anyhow. I don't know if that, do you ever get encouraged that other people mess up? Now, some of you are a little too sanctimonious, so let me try that one more time. Does it ever encourage you other people mess up? I mean, I don't mess up, blow up their life and that kind of stuff. I mean, you just see them, you think, well, that guy's a pretty good Christian. And all of a sudden, and you go, wait a minute. Thank God. He's not quite as good a guy as I thought he was. He messes up. I don't know why I'm looking at you. Anyway, the point is, does it encourage you? Does it encourage you that everybody has a battle? That encourages me. If one of the greatest Christians who ever lived had a battle going on inside of him, I'm encouraged by this. It means every Christian faces the battle of flesh and spirit. Every Christian has a war going on inside of them of old nature and new nature. Every Christian does. Now, I know that doesn't always draw, you know, a lot of help. Well, I don't care what their fight is. I got my own fight. Well, then that's a little short-sighted in our thinking. May I say this too, by the way? That's why, please, have a little mercy when you deal with people. So I understand why they have to go act like that. Because they have an old nature inside of them. That's why. And they lost. They gave in to it. So be a little merciful, would you please? Because you didn't always win your fight either. You're sitting on the platform and a guy looks at you and embarrasses you because everyone goes, yeah, he's talking about Brother Evans. You know, a lot of mercy right here. This man needs it. So the point is, I just can't leave you alone today, Brother Evans. I don't understand what that is. But God bless you. That's what you get for sitting on the platform. But it comes around. I know, it goes around, it comes around. But, you know, your memory's so short you forget the next day anyhow. The point is, every Christian faces this battle. Everyone does. Well, I understand why you have to have a conflict. Excuse me. When you signed up and said yes to Jesus, you joined the multitude of the warring brethren. It's just how it is. So it should help us to be a little more merciful and understanding of why sometimes people are not everything they're supposed to be. But it also should help us to understand, you know, everybody else is going through this same fight now. They all got this war going on inside of them. And so it's a brotherhood of things, as you want, if it were. And so all Christians face this battle. Number next, it is a battle that can be won, however. See verse 25, the last verse today we read. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then in verse 24, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall release me from the body of this death? Well, that's hopeless. That's frustration. That's the aggravation with the fact that I don't always do what I should, and I don't always say no to sin, and sometimes I do say yes to sin, and sometimes I say yes to right, but I don't always do it like I should. Oh, wretched man that I am. But verse 25 ends with a victory note. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. My friend, listen to this preacher this morning. This battle that goes on inside of me, that sometimes I lose and sometimes God wins. You know, victory is possible. Now, we do not believe in sinless perfection. We do not believe that there's a second work of the Holy Spirit after your salvation, whereby God burns that sinful nature out of you. I wish it were true. Oh, my soul, I wish it were true. Years and years ago, I first got into the ministry. I met a dear old Pentecostal gentleman, and he asked me, he said, Brother Johnson, have you received the second blessing? And I thought that was like, you know, seconds for lunch. But that wasn't what he was talking about. I said, I'm not sure. What are you talking about? I thought he was talking about tongues and stuff like that. He said, no. He said, the eradication of the sinful flesh. I said, oh. He goes, the second work of the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Ghost comes on you and whoo, he burns that sinful nature out of you. And you don't sin anymore. I said, Brother, where do I sign up for that? He goes, well, it's funny. He said, if you weren't a Baptist, you'd know what that was. I thought, well, I ain't going to tell you what I told him. But anyway, I said, it was new to me. And he says, it's the second work of the Holy Spirit of God. And your sinful nature is burned out of you and you can't sin anymore. It's the old holiness crowd. I said, so, sir, you don't sin? He goes, nope. Haven't in years. I said, well, you just did. Because you're lying to me. There is no way you can tell me. It was years and years before when he had this happen to him. He goes, no. I've been sinless. I said, okay. The truth of the matter is, the Bible says in 1 John, that if the Bible says if we say that we are without sin, we make him a liar. It's not God justifying sinfulness. It's just God understanding what he got when he got us. He got sinful fallen creatures who are redeemed but still sinful fallen creatures by nature. And the point is this, ladies and gentlemen, everybody faces this battle in their life. But, however, you can win the fight. You won't be sinless, but you can say yes to right more than you'll say yes to sin if you live. Go back one chapter in the book of Romans. I don't mean to make you look in your Bible too much this morning, but go over there. Romans chapter 6, and look down, if you would, at verse number 16. These Romans 6, 7, and 8, those three chapters, you should really read them all at the same time on this subject because it brings it all together for you. But Romans 6, verse 16, one page back there, or four if you're in a giant print. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So wait a minute. He just says, if I yield myself to right, then I'll do right. If I yield myself to wrong, I'll do wrong. I know it doesn't sound like a very theologically deep thought, but the truth is, you go down a few more verses to verse 19. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Now watch this. Verse 19, for as ye have yielded your members to servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You ever know someone say, well, I have to understand, I had a life in deep sin, and it's hard for me to break that. Truth is, if you ever yield yourself to wickedness and just gave yourself to it, you already know how to give yourself to righteousness. The Bible says that salvation, we are free from the bondage and the power of sin in our lives. You know, go back up a few more. Verse 6, knowing this, Romans 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Destroyed means rendered ineffective. The moment of your salvation, God renders that old sin nature as ineffective as it was before you got saved. It's still there. You don't lose the sin nature. Its power over you is what's lost. The control is not the same. Person says they're saved and they just go on in sin and never change. Their life never changes. I'm sorry. I'm not a fruit inspector. I don't believe in lordship salvation. But there's no way you can be in Christ and not be a new creature. Old things do pass away. All things do come. It goes. The old goes. The new comes because you're a new creature. Something changes at salvation. And what changes is the control and the power of sin over your life. Now, if I will just willingly yield myself to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to control my life and obey what He tells me to do, the power of sin will be broken in my life. You can have victory over this old nature. Now, look here. That's why when in my life, when I get a stubborn, kind of hard-headed attitude of I'm going to do it my way, you just gave the sin nature control in your life. You do understand this morning, listen, you do understand that my daily choice in my life is not whether or not the old nature or the new nature is going to control me. I don't have that choice. I only have one choice, and that's the choice to let the new nature control my life. If I don't yield to God every day of my life, I've just given the old nature permission to take control. That's why the flesh rears its head quickly. You can see it. You can sense it. You can tell it in your life. You got problems with your temper? That's not about your, I'm just a guy with a bad temper. No, you're not. You're a person who the Spirit of God is not controlling you. You didn't allow Him to do it. The old nature takes over, and that's an angry temperament. Selfish, carnal, fleshly, whatever the case may be. This war goes on, my friend, and it goes on in our lives. But you can win if you allow God to control you. In verse 25 of Romans 7, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's a reason he made that statement. Lord. Submitting to the Lord. Letting God control my life. Mike Johnson out of the driver's seat. God in the driver's seat. Mike Johnson obedient to God. Getting out of the way. Letting the Lord control me through his word. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a battle you can win. And it is a battle for a lifetime. That means there's no permanent victory. Doesn't it kind of frustrate you? It did him, Paul. Doesn't it frustrate you that you have a good day, you're walking with God? The old expression used to be the Holy Ghost is all over you. I mean, things are just going really good. And the next day, it's not one of those. You almost feel like the maniac of Gadara. You got these demons inside of you. And you don't if you're a saved person. That's an example, I might say. But the truth is, I got one day to do my best to let the Lord control my life. But it won't work for tomorrow. It just won't. And I know what we do. We excuse everything on the planet. We're tired. We're not in touch with our inner self. My favorite one, I'm not in a good place right now. You've been watching Dr. Phil? What do you mean you're not in a good place right now? I'm just not in touch with my inner child. We'll grow up. It's amazing the excuses that we use. Well, I went to work and then that jerk was there again. And here, oh, so it was somebody else's fault that you got. Okay, I got you. And we have all these excuses. We don't understand something. See, today I do my best to live for God. And then today's today. When I get up tomorrow, I'm doing it again. Well, isn't there one like push button, do it forever thing, Pastor Johnson? Nope. Not in this flesh, this literal flesh, and not with this flesh nature. It's a lifetime battle. Now, don't let that frustrate you and don't go, oh, brother, what's the point? Well, we'll tell you what the point is in just a moment. But the point is this. It's a daily battle. We have to do it every day. Every day. It's amazing when you listen to a lot of soldiers come back from the battlefield. Many soldiers lost their lives not because they were in a heated conflict or a battle, but they lost their life because they weren't paying attention. Many of them were just, they were just being lax, not really watching out for the enemy. And then something happened and it cost them their life. Or they saw someone lose their life because of it. The point is this, you know, it's a daily vigilance. Live with it. It's a reality. I have to understand this is a lifetime battle. Don't discourage you. Don't let it discourage you. Just know that every day I need to win this battle. Number next quickly. It is a battle, however, that I must win. For in Romans chapter 6 again, please, and verse number 16, it tells me, I'm going to become the servant to sin if I don't win this fight. You know, we use Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We use that verse in witnessing to unsaved people that there is a consequence for sin, but Jesus died to pay for that sin so you might have eternal life. It's a great verse for that. But in reality, in the context, it's talking to Christians. Reminding Christians, here is how it works. We'll never suffer the eternal punishment of our sin in hell. But the wage of sin is still going to get paid in life if you don't live for God. I have to win this battle. It's not like it's just easier to give in. Oh, no, it's not. For the wages of sin is death. Christian, the wages of sin is death. If I don't win this battle, death will come. You mean I'll die? Well, you may well die. And in this society nowadays, you may well die. I'm amazed at people who seem to think for some reason another, a Christian's temper can't get him killed nowadays. Sure can. We live in a hostile world today. You pop a cork out there in public, somebody will kill you. And death, oh yeah, I mean, look at the diseases and the things of immorality today. That can be one time, instant death. Loss, you'll lose your life. But in this example, the death he's talking about is not just physical death. Death in the Bible is separation. It means you're going to suffer loss of things. Nobody gets to sin and keep what they had in sin. They never do. If I don't win this war, and as a child of God, I just decide, you know what? I'm just going to live by the flesh. I don't care. It's just easier. I don't have to put up with the conflict. And after all, no, what happens then is you pay a great price. Death will come. There'll be a loss of things. You will create an appetite and a memory you don't want to have. Why do you think things get ingrained? They call them addictions. And I firmly believe people get addicted to things. I do not believe it's in a disease of any kind. No. Like alcoholism is a disease, Pastor Johnson. It's the only disease I know that's spread by opening bottles. So you're not being fair to that kind of thing. It's never been scientifically proven, but I don't care whether it is or not. The book of Proverbs says, I was not sick when it talks about drinking alcohol. The truth is it can become addiction. But how does it become addiction? Well, you start drinking and you keep drinking. How come even the AA people know the only way to break that addiction is never drink again? Isn't that fascinating? They figured out what the Bible already told them to do before they went to AA. Hey, the answer is quite simple. I will create an appetite. I will create a memory. And in my mind, that will stay there. I lose the battle, I'm going to create something I wish I never had. Then you go to do right, and what's there? The remembrance of what you did when you shouldn't. In Galatians 3 and verse 1, it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. If I don't live in the Christian liberty God has given me, I'm going to become a slave again to sin. Can you imagine that? Being set free, and then turning around and saying, well, put them back on me. cuff me again. I think I prefer the bondage than the freedom. Yeah, but freedom isn't freedom with Christianity. There's a lot of stuff you can't do. Yeah, you can't have any guilt. You can't have any remorse. You can't have any loss. You can't have any of the stuff sin was supposed to give you. You can't have any of that kind of stuff. I agree. But then I don't really care to have that anyhow. See, if I don't win the war, bondage comes. I'm going to be enslaved again. I'm going to go right back to the old life. I'm going to go right back to all that stuff all over again in my life. And yet if I win this battle, I'll know victory. Hey, it may be what I was, but that'll be the key. That's what I was, not what I am. It'll be a testimony to the grace and the goodness of God. And ladies and gentlemen, God needs to have a good testimony of what God can do in a person's life when he sets somebody free. God can do an amazing thing, but you know the power of sin is defeated. A good testimony is presented and others are encouraged to do the same. Well, if he can do it, if she can do it, then by the grace of God, I'm going to do it too. It encourages others to do something that's right. Got enough bad example? How about some good ones? See, if I win the war, there's so many positives to the victory that it's not worth losing. See, Pastor Johnson, I just get weary of the battle. So if you give in, sin gives you a break. Right? Sin just lets you go. You don't have to worry about it. And there won't be any consequences. Right? Nothing bad will happen to you. You just give in and you just do what everybody else does. And what's the problem? Well, that's the problem, isn't it? In 31 years of pastoring this church and 35 years of ministry, it's amazing to me to see what's now in our churches that was once on the streets, and now it's in our churches. It's amazing to me to see that what goes on, what used to go on out there in the world you never really heard much about in the church except from the pulpit and preaching, now becomes common practice among Christians. And here's why. Some of us have decided we just as soon lose the battle and stop the fight. But then we bring all the consequences of sin to our lives. If we remember, I don't care if you got saved when you were 8. If you remember, sin never did you any good. It never gave you anything that you really wanted. And if it did, it took away anything you ever enjoyed from it. It always cost you more. As someone once said, sin takes you where you never intended to go, keeps you longer than you intended to stay, and makes you pay a price you can't afford. The war needs to be fought, and it can be won by the grace of God. Christian, take on a day-by-day battle with God's help. Simple obedience to God, and you can know victory. It's more complicated than that. No, it's not. It's just that simple. As you once yielded yourself to wrong, now you yield yourself to right. You submit to Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life, the Savior. You submit to Him in His will and way. And as you do so, day by day, the battle becomes less intense. Victory is more on the side of right than wrong. And you know what? You are released from the body of this death. Otherwise, the most miserable people I know are Christians who will not live like God wants them to. Never seen a happy, smiling, joyous Christian outside of God's will and what's right for very long. Because you're just caught in the conflict. You're in the middle of the battlefield, but you're not winning, and too often you lose. But God can give you victory. Therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, there is victory for the child of God. Let's be sure we fight the battle. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.